Hey everyone, it's Carmita, and welcome back to Missing in the PNW. So, I first have to start off by actually addressing last week's episode. Again, I apologize. It was super late. I wasn't feeling good when I recorded it. And I actually found out that there is supposedly new information that has come out on Logan's case. However, what that new information is, honestly, I can't tell you because I was never told. So I really encourage you guys to just kind of do some research for yourself. If you're interested in that, figure out, you know, what's going on. I know there's been, I guess, some new developments, new timeline. So definitely check that out. And I really do. I mean, that's why sometimes I record so late and to get you guys the episodes on time is because I really do try to get the most up-to-date information. And sometimes recording the night before the podcast comes out, that's the best that I can do. But to all of my longtime listeners, you guys know what my background is. I'm not a private investigator. I'm not a criminal investigator. I don't have an investigation background whatsoever. I try to use the sources that I have at my disposal to give you the most accurate information that I can, but I don't spend all my time investigating stuff. I just don't have that time. You guys know that my passion is to try to get as many people's names, faces, and a little bit of their background out there, just because most of the people that I cover have little to no information about them, and they get little to absolutely no media coverage. But again, my background, which I told you guys in my very first couple of episodes, I work in the medical field. I'm in college pursuing a bachelor's degree in healthcare admin. Again, I'm not an investigator. I'm not an expert. I just have a love for true crime, which all of you do too, because otherwise you wouldn't be listening to my podcast. So I appreciate you guys, and I hope that brings some understanding and clarification to the people that need it. Thank you again for writing this out with me. Thank you for all of the attention the podcast has gotten, all of the attention all of the missing people so far that I have covered have gotten. Just thank you for everything that you guys do, because I do this for you guys. I do this for the missing people, the families. I just, again, thank you for everything. I hope you guys know and really hear how passionate I am about missing, you know, today we're going to talk about a missing indigenous woman. I'm half Native American. I'm super into the indigenous women in general, and just the fact that it's just so, they're so underreported, and they're so, like, there's just so many things wrong with the way that indigenous women get treated. And you're going to hear me rant a little bit about that today. But let's just go ahead and we're going to jump right in here. Today, we're actually going to discuss the missing person case of a young woman named Ruthie Fawn Kindness. Now, Ruthie has been missing since February 7th, 2011 from Parkland, Washington. It was reported per the Charlie Project that she actually had gotten released from jail on an outstanding warrant the morning of February 7th. What that was for, you guys know I don't care. The only reason I bring that up is because I do feel like stuff like that affects the way these people are treated. Like, if someone has a criminal background, I mean, she's Native and possibly had a criminal background, a lot of the media, they just don't care. A lot of, you know, even the police officers, they don't care. It's just another, you know, criminal out there that's now missing. And that significantly affects how these people are searched for, the coverage that they get, all of that. It's just another thing in this broken system that needs to change. Now, when she had been let go, it was actually up in Federal Way. Federal Way, Washington is not that far from Parkland. It's about a half hour, give or take. I know Parkland's 15 minutes south of Tacoma. Parkland's actually pretty close to the joint Lewis-McChord Air Force Base up there by Tacoma. I'm really familiar with that area. My family has been, some of my family has been stationed up at that joint base, Lewis-McChord. So she actually, Ruthie was at a bowling alley. The last time that anyone had seen or heard from her, she was outside of Paradise Bowling Alley, which is on 126th Street and Pacific Avenue South in Parkland. She had called her mom from a payphone. I really couldn't get any information on her mom. I couldn't get any information on, you know, kind of what happened after that. But it seems like she literally just called her mom and then vanished right off the face of the earth, which you guys know that doesn't happen. So she, a little background information on her. She actually graduated from Fief High School. It was on her Facebook page said that she was a college student at California State University. However, at the time of her disappearance, she didn't have a cell phone and she was homeless. I'm not sure what happened with school or why she was homeless up in Washington if she went to California State University. And then also being that she had no cell phone, that would totally make sense why she had to use the payphone. Her loved ones did say that she did frequent the Federal Way, Puyallup, and the Milton, Washington areas. She was 20 years old at the time of her disappearance. She possibly used an alias of Anna Hager or Hager. And really, guys, that's all the information that I really have on her. Again, I know this is super frustrating, but this little bit that I have, sometimes I'm going to have really, you know, a little bit longer episodes where I have so much information and it's going to be great. There's so much stuff to go off of. But then also I'm going to have just this little short things, you know, describing where she was last seen, describing them in general. But each case, I feel, is equally important. No matter how much or how little, how long or short, every case is important. And if just one person hears this and is like, hey, I remember for something that day, or hey, I know somebody who may know something. One person, guys, is all it takes. One person who saw something, heard something, know something, one person who's scared. It's been over 10 years. It's been almost 12 years, actually, that Ruthie's been missing. And I know there's probably some people out there that this is just eating away at them. And it's, you gotta know, please, please, somebody come forward. And just, her family deserves to know what happened to her. And there's a couple of things I'm not going to really get into because it's all speculation. And I try to guys give you guys the facts. And so I'm going to link in the show notes. There is a Facebook page called Where's Ruthie? And I did go through and read it. And a lot of the stuff is really, really old. I'm not going to lie. It's probably from a couple of years after she went missing. But there are some really kind of interesting stuff on there, and some there was a guy that they're looking for. I really couldn't find any more information on this guy. They wanted to question him. The family wanted to question him. There were some other people kind of speculating and accusing. But I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm not here to speculate or get into all of that. I definitely encourage you guys, if you guys want to go check that out, I will link it. Also, of course, I really love the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women USA Facebook page. And then also there's another Facebook page that I have gotten into called Indian Countries Missing. Those all will be in the show notes. I definitely encourage you guys to check that out. Also, Ruthie's case, per the Yakima Herald, I found an article that her case was supposed to be featured on a show. Now, I don't know if you would call it a feature, if you would call it a blurb. I don't know, but it came out September 22nd of last year, 2021. I actually went back and watched it. And it was a show called In Pursuit with John Walsh. Anyone in America who likes true crime, stuff like that, you guys would know who John Walsh is. For my international listeners, John Walsh is a guy who, gosh, I think it was in the 90s and early 2000s. He hosted a show called America's Most Wanted. He actually had a really sad story where his son went missing in the 80s. I believe his son was murdered. I'm not sure, but it's a really, really sad story. If you guys ever get a chance, kind of look up that story, John Walsh. That was his whole passion and his whole reasoning for doing what he did and creating America's Most Wanted. And it highlighted some of the most, like, top 10 worst people that were wanted in America. So he now hosts a show called In Pursuit. About halfway through that episode, they flashed Ruthie's picture with a number to call for tips, kind of gave a little bit less information than I just gave you on her. And so, I mean, again, it sucks that that's all that they could do. But then I do appreciate that, you know, over 10 and a half years later, they did give light to this missing Native woman. So that's where, you know, with Ruthie's case, unfortunately, that's where I'm going to leave you today. She is described as a Native American woman who is 5'4" tall and weighs 115 pounds with brown hair and brown eyes. Again, she could use that alias of Anna Hager. She did frequent those areas, Federal Way, Puyallup, and Milton. She went missing from, they believe, Parkland, Washington. And next month, again, it's going to be, 11. It's going to be 11 long years that her family has not had any closure. I did try to reach out and message the Where's Ruthie Facebook page. Not sure if anybody is monitoring it now, though. Because, like I said, there's such old information on there. Trying to get a hold of any kind of family, see if there's any updates, anything like that. If you do have information, though, guys, you know nobody goes missing just off the face of the earth. Someone knows something, especially in the comments. If you guys would go on that Facebook page and read, someone definitely knows something about what happened to Ruthie. So please, you can stay anonymous always. Call the Auburn Police Department at 253-931-3080. And with that, I just want to, again, give you guys just some really just horrible and sad facts when it comes to missing Native Americans. The National Crime Information Center reported that in 2016, there were over 5,700 American Indian and Alaskan Native women and girls that were reported missing. But at that time, only 116 were logged into that federal database NAMIS, which is the National Missing and Unidentified Person System. A lack of data and, of course, underreporting is a huge issue. And Native Americans, they often get mislabeled. Their race gets put as unknown. If you guys remember back in, I believe it was Leona's case, she, for a long time, her daughter said she was mislabeled as white when she's Native American. And so it's just, there's definitely not a lot. Over the last couple of years, there's been acts that were passed, Savannah Act. There's been other laws that were passed, but it's just not doing enough, guys. And we definitely need, like I said, to change the system. I encourage you guys, reach out to your local mayors, your senators, your governors, whoever you can. And just make sure that these politicians are actually following through and doing what they're supposed to be doing. If you're passing laws and you're passing acts, but you're not doing anything with them, what good is that? It's just, it's really, really, it's not fair. And there's also one more website that I hope you go to. It's called nativehope.org. That actually gives really, really, really good information about just kind of understanding the issue that, you know, missing and murdered Indigenous women face. Like, the whole issue is they're not getting the discussion, they're not getting the attention, they're not getting the coverage that they deserve. And a lot of that is the, you know, lack of reporting, the unfortunate Indian Relocation Act, federal policies, where, you know, a lot of Natives, they don't live on reservations. From what, contrary to what people think, only about 22% live on reservations. And when they do, if someone goes missing in that community, it's such a tight-knit community, tribal law enforcement get involved. The whole community kind of bands together, where when they're off the reservation site, it's, you know, nobody I feel like wants to take blame. Nobody wants to take accountability. The government, you know, the tribal police are, well, we want to help, but they can't because it's in the city jurisdiction. And the city, you know, doesn't care because they try to put it back on to the Native community. Everybody needs to help these people. Not just one person, everybody needs to help. And, you know, housing and homelessness also remain at the top of that list of challenges. Ruthie was homeless. Like, that's just something, unfortunately, that Natives go through. And it's just really sad. But go to that nativehope.org. You can find a lot more information on there. That's really, really good information. I know I've covered some of this before. I will never be quiet. I will never stop fighting. I will never stop being passionate for my Native brothers and sisters. Something really, really needs to change. I am going to find, I would encourage you guys to, you know, reach out to those senators, those politicians, those governors. I know they have a lot of things are on Zoom now because of COVID. So they do have like committee hearings that are streamed. I would encourage you to try to get into that. I'm actually going to look for some of that this year and see if I could listen in on that and even just try to advocate for that. If you guys find anything else, of course, let me know. Drop a comment. Send a message to my Facebook page, facebook.com/missinginthepnwpodcast. Again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for everyone who stuck with me through, gosh, it's been a crazy let's see, September, gosh, it's been 4 or 5 months already. We've been doing this. It's time's going by really quick. But thank you so much for everything, you guys. Remember, have fun, but be safe.